Welcome everybody to ActiveSpirituality.live. We are Pamela Cuccinell and Susie Mazzoli, and ActiveSpirituality.life is a weekly podcast that we offer. We've been actually doing it for 7 long years now, every week. Pamela Cuccinell offers an accurate and very clear forecast to consider your choices and options for ultimate results. And myself, Susie Mazzoli, I lead some long, deep meditations related to our week and how we can navigate and integrate the flow of the universe. You can also subscribe to our program, find our website, activespirituality.life, and then you will get this podcast even earlier in your mailbox every week. I would love to introduce Pamela Cuccinell, and Pam is going to talk about the next 3 months of 2020, April, May and June, and we'll find out what's in store for us. Pamela Cuccinell, how are you? Thank you.
I'm well, Susie. Thank you too. And for those of you who haven't heard it yet, we already have the first quarter, so look for that. And as we're recording these, all quarters will be on 2020. So look to hear us and share us. So spring 2020, April, May, June, the first thing I have to talk about is on April 5th, Jupiter is in alignment with Pluto at 24 Capricorn. And basically this is giving another kick to the big conjunction that happened on January 12th when Saturn was in alignment with Pluto. And as Jupiter keeps kind of goosing or intensifying the Pluto point, we are going more and more into this energy that's about how do we transform, how do we change, how do we make systems different than they've been up until this point in time. And there's tremendous brittleness, is how I see it. It's because the systems that have been in place for a very long time are crumbling. And because they fear their death and destruction, which is just a natural part of life, people, institutions, situations cling on to what has been in spite of all the odds that are showing change is upon us. You cannot hold the frame. And we see these systems, institutions, structures that want to hold frames that have been in place for long periods of time, and they're in the process of dismantling. It's not dissimilar to the reality of any life form that sooner or later goes through decay and dissolution. It just is one of the factors of how life spirals and regrowth happens. So at this point in time in early June, we may see something or have an occurrence on the world stage that very much is about what is shifting and changing. For each of us as individuals, if you have a planet in a cardinal sign at a late degree, then you're going to be feeling this more acutely. So that's people with any planetary configurations in Cancer, Capricorn, Libra, or Aries that are in what we call the third decan, so the last 10 degrees of the sign. So that may be, this may be a particularly transitory time in your life. It's that way for humanity in general, but some of us are feeling this very individually. So the way to function, prepare, cope, invite what is occurring in the most positive, growth-oriented way possible is to allow whatever must come in so that you can flower and regenerate. When we hold very close to things that have been, basically what we're doing is we are preventing the healing and regrowth. And so we are forestalling the eventual letting in of the new energy that allows the regrowth. And I feel that these Jupiter, because Jupiter comes to Pluto a few times throughout 2020. And I feel as though, even though it's intense, it also is an invitation, because Jupiter expands. Jupiter is considered the planet of good fortune. Jupiter does make things bigger. So it can feel like too much too soon. But basically what it's doing is it's providing an opportunity or an invitation to see this transformation as something that may in ways liberate or lead us places that we hadn't even thought about. So something may come in at this point in time that gives you an indication, invitation of what is ahead that actually is regenerative and even more than you dared to hope was possible. The other thing that is important to mention about what's happening in the spring is when I look towards May, and we'd already be feeling it in April. And what this is both Venus and Mars go retrograde during 2020. And this is significant, because we have been seeing the rise of the feminine over the past couple of years. And that doesn't, to break that down and explain it better. When I say rise of the feminine, I'm saying that we are entering into a period of a reorientation, a new way of seeing what the feminine is, which of course is going to affect how we see women, how we see nurturing, how we see the yin, softer areas of life. And it's not just softer areas of life, how we see the strength and power in the feminine. And so what that means is part of the backlash with rise in feminism or understanding the value of women in a egalitarian society is the backlash that occurs from men, the masculine, that feels threatened, as though if you get more, I get less, which is not at all what an egalitarian balance of male and female energy presents for us. If the feminine energy is more, then the masculine energy is more. So I could say to you that because the feminine energy has been less and disparaged and shunted away in many situations, the masculine energy actually has been truncated with its potential. It has not been able to be the maximum it could be because it's been negating the feminine. Because we live in a universe that's all about polarity and balance. So if you diminish one side, it doesn't really strengthen the other side. It just gives it this kind of inflated sense of what its power and strength is, which is not the same as real power and strength. So to see both Venus and Mars retrograde at this point in time, when there's so much action happening with the outer planets, seems to me very much about a deepening of understanding of what those energies are about. So Venus is retrograde from May 13th through June 25th. And she goes retrograde every one and a half years. So it's not like she never goes retrograde, but it's also coupled with the Mars retrograde at this profound period of time with some significant conjunctions between Saturn, Pluto, Saturn and Jupiter, which happens later in the year, and Jupiter, Pluto. So because of that, I see these retrogrades as being on like beyond what their usual energetic thrust of deepening into wisdom is about. So when Venus goes retrograde, basically because of her seemingly backward movement, and then she retraces her steps, she ends up being in the sign of Gemini for almost 4.5 months, which is a very long time for Venus to be in one sign. So what I invite you to do is look at your personal horoscope and see where Gemini resides. What house is it in? Are there any planets that are active or present in the sign of Gemini? And that's going to let you know what you are deepening into understanding during this period of time, because Venus is about what we value. It's about what we attract and what we're attracted to. She's also teaches us a great deal about money, because if a person feels any way challenged by abundance or money, self-worth or value, I'm going to look at where Venus is, because there were some messages about not deserving enough or not worth enough. And when she's retrograde, she basically is saying, let's question or look deeper at what we think we value and care about. And so that's why some people may be making a tremendous amount of money, but they still don't have a great sense of self-worth. So they're always chasing after something that they want to make happen, and thinking as though that's going to make them feel worthwhile. And it never does, because they haven't done the intrinsic work of looking at self-value. So Venus is in Gemini from April 3rd through August 7th. Very long time. And one thing I think is intriguing about Venus in the sign of Gemini is Gemini is the sign naturally affiliated with the planet Mercury. So I believe there's a lot here about disseminating words, thinking about how we say things. And this is so important in the world in which we live, where people will just sound off with a tweet or with a text or this kind of shorthand dialogue and expect that someone's really going to understand the content, or they don't even expect it. They just shoot off whatever it is has occurred to them or they're thinking about without really considering the impact of the words. So over this period of time with Venus in Gemini, what are we communicating? How do we hear? What is the value of free speech? And especially, I can't help but think about a medium like Facebook, where there's a lot of posturing now about free speech, and yet none of the speech is free because everything is generated or making mega millions of dollars because of advertising. So what is free? What freedoms do we think we have? So this all becomes valuable exercises as we're in this period of time. And it doesn't mean that all this is magically going to be solved in 2020, but it all starts with personal self-awareness. So each of us as individuals has an opportunity to consider, how do I say things? Is it having an impact? What is the value of communication? And am I in alignment with the self-worth that every human being deserves to feel? And sometimes a person can think, well, that person has a tremendous amount of self-worth and self-confidence, but not necessarily. They may be doing a lot of overcompensation. So it's important to take people for where they really are, and the people who have the most self-worth and sense of value are the people who tend to value other people in the same way. Because I'm back to the polarity piece. If somebody really has an intrinsic self-love, self-worth, they easily give that to the person sitting next to them on the bus, to the person that they live with, to their coworker, because they have a balanced sense of love and self-worth. Susie, what are you thinking about this, my Gemini friend?
Well, there's quite a few people that are in, let's say, places that are leading countries that are also Gemini, so I'm thinking of those as well.
Yes, I know.
I think going back to what you said in the beginning about male and female as well, to me, my sense is that this year is where humanity, literally humans, all of us can go to a place which is deeper. There's like a deepening into what you're calling male and female, a deepening into our ability to communicate with true meaning and with true responsibility. And I'm very much appreciating how that is connected to the dismantling of systems, to the change that we're going to see, hopefully, within ourselves, reflected out in the world, in the cultural, religious, political systems that we have lived with for, in some cases, thousands of years. So this breakdown, this transition, these transformations that we're going to be seeing in larger systems also are happening in these smaller systems, the individual systems, the system within us. So I think it's a brilliant time now to be really engaged in self-exploration, any type of spiritual practice that is not dogmatic, that really is offering expansion rather than these are the rules, follow them. And my intuition is that this year is where humanity makes a turning point from the inside, from the very deep inside.
Good point. And turning point, the other thing I need to mention about May is that the nodes, now the nodes are points in the sky where the sun, moon intersects. So they're just, we use them as esoteric points. Astronomers use them to mark. But to astrologers, the north node the Vedic Indian astrologers call it the head of the dragon, and the south node is the tail. And basically the nodes and where they travel for an individual give us a sense of our destiny, where we've come from and where we're going to. But as they move through the sky, they show us what are big themes that are up. And so the nodes switch from, they've been traveling in Cancer and Capricorn because they're always in opposite signs. And they switch to Gemini and Sagittarius as of May 5th. So yes, that is this turning point, because even though this is, I see the movement of the planets and how they work in our astrological system as a spiraling, you know, they're orbits and they're elliptics, but there's a spiral that is in an ideally ascension as we come into more consciousness. And so every time the nodes move into a next sign pair, we have opportunities to get to those turning points, revelations, understanding. So in Gemini and Sagittarius, and we just talked about Venus in Gemini and how certain world leaders are Geminis, like President Trump. And President Trump has been going through a great deal of transits that, yes, affect him personally, but when the leader of a country is going through transits, it reflects on what's going on for the country. So, of course, when there are eclipses, astrologers are really looking at them, not just in the way we generally do, but President Trump was born on an eclipse, so eclipses affect him in kind of uber magnified ways. And yes, when the nodes go into Gemini and Sagittarius, that's going to have an effect on him as well, because that eclipse he was born under was Sun in Gemini, Moon in Sagittarius. And yes, the Venus retrograde will also be having an effect on the United States president, which will affect the United States. So yes, we are, 2020 is turning point energy. So the Gemini Sagittarius nodes are, it's another sign I'm looking at that shows about a lot of information coming in, but needs to be understood with deeper wisdom. And so we're going to see how this is all digested, because we've been living in the information age where it just pours out at us. But we have to, and one of the things that's fascinating, of course, with the information age is it's also the opportunity to really dig and find and research all this ancient, older data that has just been reserved or available to the higher echelon of education or people who really plumb those resources. So I'm wondering if, and this is this is something I actually want to research a bit more, but I'm wondering if when Gemini, Sagittarius, the nodes are moving in, if we start to unearth some ancient wisdom that really has just been available for a select amount of people, such as things like the Trove in a place like the Vatican, which has so much ancient wisdom in books, including astrology books, that a lot of people have not had access to. So I'm just wondering if that will be a piece of what starts to come out with the after the Venus retrograde and Gemini Sagittarius nodes.
Pam, could it also be not just that the elite that you're referring to, but also perhaps it might be that the world pays more attention to the wisdom of the Indigenous people because they're holding so much of this ancient wisdom, the ancient people, the Indigenous people from all over the world, and being very involved with the climate crisis and organising events around climate crisis, a lot of our events now we're getting more and more people who are interested to hear what are the Australian Aboriginal elders saying, what right. are the shamans from Peru mm-hmm. saying, what are the elders from Africa saying. So I'm hoping that it might also be that the general population is also listening more to the ways of the Indigenous people that have not only survived on planet Earth for hundreds of years, thousands of years, maybe much more, but actually thrived without causing all the incredible damage and destruction that now is desperately looming.
That's an excellent point, and you're absolutely right. That's I'm getting chills, my dear. Yes, I look forward to that. I think that's right on, to use a phrase that reflects my age. So to just to wrap up a bit on the summer, because I know that Susie has a valuable activation meditation to give us after I'm done with this, but just to run through a little of June, Jupiter goes retrograde and it also is conjunct Pluto once again on June 30th. I'm just double checking my notes as I'm saying this. Yes. So when Jupiter's retrograde, again, it's an opportunity to really deepen into like figuring out older wisdom. And Susie's right. I do think the Indigenous people voices and also the alignment of power is going to step up. But we'll see that, but the thing else to mention about Jupiter when it's retrograde, it'll be retrograde May 14th through September 12th. And when Jupiter's retrograde, we usually say you don't want to open a new business, you don't want to make a new huge investment. So just be aware of that period of time. And also know that on June 30th, when that Jupiter-Pluto conjunction happens again, Jupiter is retrograde. So that's kind of a intensifier of are we getting the messages? And yes, the people in power, we really want them to get the message because they're the ones in power. But as individuals, we have more power than we think. So the more we focus on what we want the world to be, and the less we get seduced by what the media or voices tell us the world is, the stronger the engine for transformational change. So on June 5th, there's a lunar eclipse. It happens at 15 Gemini. Again, you're here in Gemini, Sagittarius. So that's a very strong, another little trigger for this. Are we getting the information and wisdom that we need to survive, transform, and transcend? On June 21st, there's another eclipse. It happens at 0 degrees Cancer. This is a very intense eclipse. And if you look at my website, insightoasis.com, I will be writing more about this. Also, activespirituality.life. Susie and I will keep talking about this. So at that point in time, the eclipse is a very difficult eclipse. Historically, it's in the Saros cycle. It happens about every 18, 19 years. It is because it's at zero Cancer, it is on the world axis, And so we can expect a very hot summer. The other thing about this eclipse is that it is before the July 5th lunar eclipse, which is at 13 Cancer Capricorn. And that is also has Jupiter conjunct Pluto, which means emotions are going to be very high. And people who know when the country, the United States, was born, it was born on July 4th. So this eclipse is very triggering for the United States. Jupiter is opposite the sun on July 14th. And this is another indication of a very volatile summer. So as I turn this over to Susie for the activation, my main message with the spring into the summer solstice and July is that we work on maintaining personal equilibrium, because it's a lot will be demanded of us and calls to action must be tempered by self-awareness and self-understanding. And now I turn it over to Susie.
I just want to clarify, Pam, you said around the June 21st eclipse, you said that it's going to be a very hot summer. Are you talking about temperature or?
Probably both. I'm talking about emotions and energy, but that can very well have a physical manifestation. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And especially when we look at when planets are involved or engaged with eclipses like the July 5th eclipse that has, and the June 21st, both of them have outer planetary action engaged with the eclipse itself. So that's very triggering. And it's not unusual to see it manifested in an actual physical context. So hot summer, Earth events. But as we know, and I say this all the time, experts have said that California should have fallen in the sea a long time ago, but there are so many people who don't want that to happen that they are continually manifesting California staying secure on the fault line. So that's why it's so important for us to hold intentional equilibrium.
And as we hold intentional equilibrium, that is rippling out to everything around us everywhere.
Exactly.
What we speak about all the time is how much our world, the world that we live in, the world that we perceive, our perception is obviously just coming from us. Only we can perceive what is happening through our own consciousness. And our perception, our consciousness is also very much responsible for what is seen before our eyes. So we're always talking about how we are creating our world, simply how we create our world. So if we are able to hold, as you're speaking about it now, this equilibrium, this balance, this sense of, I would call it fearlessness as well as fortitude. If we're holding this, then we're also changing the planet, is what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's jump into our meditation. I'm going to do a quick 10-minute turbo boost activation meditation. And thanks so much, Pam. It sounds like we really need to be very, very aware of who we are and what we are. And we know too, because of the state of our planet and what is happening to our people and everything here right now, that it really is a very important time for us to act responsibly. So I invite everyone to take a nice peaceful place where you can sit quietly just for 10 minutes and take a few deeper breaths, get yourself into a nice position. Take a few deeper breaths and feel yourself relaxing. And visualize that this life, this consciousness, is like a giant spiral round you, moving clockwise and going upwards. And visualize in this spiral that this life, every single day, is always a step up on that spiral. Moving around, engaging in perhaps the same type of activities or topics, but each time, on each new day, on each new month, on each new year, as you come around to it, you're higher, more aware, there's deeper wisdom, and our so-called ascension process can be seen as this upward moving spiral that we're always given because of the concept of time and the way that we perceive our reality. We're always given allowance. There's always opportunity to understand something deeper, even if we know it so well, even if we've experienced it so many times. There's always another opportunity for us to deepen into the understanding, to deepen into understanding reality. What is this reality? What is ultimate reality? And as you visualize this spiral, understanding that everything is what it is, feel yourself in a form of relaxation, a form of expansion. There is a gentleness and a softness, and the mind is absolutely clear. It's not grasping at concepts. It's not grasping at realities, what I want, what I need, what I desire. At first, we create openness. We create absolute openness before we take on any ideas or any concepts. Just let us be completely open and free. And as we visualize this open, free space, knowing that we are in this space now as a free agent, that we have absolute, complete freedom to be in any direction, to be in any understanding. And from this freedom now, from this expansion, allow yourself to look at the earth, to look at the earth as a scientist, as an anthropologist, as a theologian, to look at the earth as a shaman, as a medical doctor, look at the earth as a botanist, and just see all the different ways that the earth can be interpreted, all the different ways that you as a human being can visualize, perceive, and understand the earth on so many different levels. You can see some things as destructive, some things as constructive. You can see the folly. You can see the confusion. And you can see also the wisdom and the awareness. A myriad of ways to see and to understand. And as you're looking at the earth, focus in now on the Indigenous people, the ancient peoples of the world that have been holding their myth, their legend, their ways of life, their culture, their understanding, their science, their reality. Perhaps what others call myth and legend is reality. And as you look to these people, understand in a very deep energetic way now what information is being given to you. What information is being passed on now to you about the earth, about all sentient beings. Energetically receive the information that pertains to living in harmony with each other, living in harmony with nature. Bringing back this information now into your life. The ways, the simple ways that we are able now to transform our planet, to perhaps alter the way that we have been dealing with each other and dealing with Mother Nature herself. Allow us to deepen into that information that is in every single human being. We are all born from these ancient people. We are all, every single one of us on this planet, we are Indigenous people. We are Indigenous people to this earth, and every single one of us holds the wisdom within every cell of our being, how to live here gracefully in harmony. And as you take a few deeper breaths, recognizing that you are this being now, this being that is full of wisdom, and you have all of the information within you to provide in a healthy way for your community, for your earth, that you are here as a spiritual being, and that all of this fear and greed that we see around us, that we may even feel bubbling up inside of us, that this fear and greed is something that we can learn from, that we can adjust and transform, and immediately change to wisdom, understanding, collaboration, and peace. That we are now at a point, every one of us in our lives, where we can bring immediate change. Changing the way that we live on a daily basis. Every single day, changing the way that we approach our lives fearlessly, courageously, being aware of the things that we engage with, being aware completely of what we use to stay alive. And as we take a few deeper breaths, recognizing that we are fearless, courageous beings of boundless joy, boundless opportunity, and boundless loving kindness. Feel this within every single cell of your being and radiate it forward to all beings everywhere, to every particle of sand, to every atom in the air, for the highest good of all beings everywhere. Taking a few deeper breaths and gently opening your eyes. And we thank you. We thank you for joining us for the second quarter of 2020. And if you would like to find out any more information about either Pamela or myself, go to activespirituality.life, where you'll find a community of motivated people who want an energy refresh and spiritual connection and a timing advantage to heighten confidence in their daily lives. And if you'd like to get in touch with either Pamela or myself to do a private session, please find all the information on our website. We've been working together for 7 long, wonderful years and hope to offer more and more to you every year. So please share with your friends and families, and we would love to hear from you. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, Pam.
And thank you, Susie. I feel very good now after that activation.
Wonderful.
All right.
And then we hope that we'll catch you on our third program for 2020.